Good afternoon. My name is Mike Niehaus. I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager for Microsoft, here this afternoon to talk about Windows RT in the enterprise. How many of you have stood in the line to actually buy a Surface RT device already? That is impressive. So now I don't even need to show you. You've already got one. You're going to take it back to your office. You're going to connect it to the network. You're going to be syncing your email. You're going to be productive instantly. Well, let's talk a little bit more about it before you do that, just to make sure that you understand what Windows RT can do, what it can't do, and then also touch on Windows RT 8.1 to see what's going to be coming in the future and how that's going to enhance the experience. So before we really get into that, let's talk about really the types of tablets that are out there, because most people think about them being two different types. But in reality, there are three different types out there. We have the traditional laptop ultrabook type machines. We have the Windows 8 tablets running Intel Core 64-bit processors, like the Surface Pro. How many of you picked up a Surface Pro while you were in line too? Wow. I'd love to see the room where they stored all of these Surfaces before everyone went and bought them. Pallets and pallets of Surfaces. So we've got the Surface Pro type machines with 64-bit Intel Core processors, very powerful, basically the equivalent of your laptop in a tablet form factor. There are some trade-offs with that. It does tend to create a little bit heavier machine. It creates a machine that has a little less battery life, but it has the ability to run just about any workload you throw at it. For a tablet, that's pretty impressive. In the middle, then, you have Windows 8 tablets based on Intel Atom processors. Those are 32-bit machines. They don't have as much power, but they do have longer battery life. They also support a mechanism where they operate in a very low-powered state called connected standby. That connected standby state basically means that even while the machine is sleeping, it continues to wake up periodically, access the network, check for email, remind you of appointments, and then it goes back to sleep again, kind of like your phone has. So if you have an existing Windows phone, any type of phone, they operate in this same type of connected standby manner. These are going to be lighter weight generally. They're going to have longer battery life. They're not going to have as much processing power. So if you expect to take one of these and open up a million row spreadsheet and do some manipulation on them, probably not going to be very perky. Windows RT tablets are similar in that they have less power, they have longer battery life, but instead of using an Intel-based processor, you're talking about an ARM-based processor. So you'll see us reference these not only as Windows RT, but we'll also talk about them as Windows on ARM. It's basically the Windows source code ported over to ARM processors, recompiled, and most of the features and functions and then carried over to the ARM platform. So with those three choices, it really becomes a question of, well, which one do I pick? And if you were to pick just on a particular characteristic, you might look at this and say that it's pretty easy. Oh, I want the longest battery life, I'm going to get an ARM machine. Well, what if you wanted to run larger workloads? What if you wanted to join Active Directory and use your existing AD accounts and group policies? You need to look at the different characteristics of each one and figure out what's going to work best, which is a scenario discussion. So we've got the three types. I think we've pretty well established that. We then have a set of different characteristics. Mobility, weight and battery life primarily. The workload that you're going to run, is it more of a casual workload or is it a more intense workload? The apps that you want to run on it. ARM-based devices aren't going to run any desktop apps beyond the Microsoft Office components that are included in Windows RT. So if your goal is to run any other apps that you would run on your existing desktop or laptop machines, well, then you probably want something that's based on an Intel processor where you could actually run that. Connectivity. If we're talking about Windows 8, you get all the existing Windows 8 functionality. The ability to install third-party VPN clients. You can install Windows 8 Enterprise, use direct access. Everything that you do today with your laptop or desktop, you can do with an Intel-based machine. On an ARM machine, there are a few more limitations. Today, with Windows 8 running on ARM machines, there's no direct access because it's not an Enterprise SKU. there's limited VPN capabilities. We have a built-in VPN client. That VPN client is able to talk to a Microsoft backend VPN server. It's also able to talk to some third-party backend VPN servers, but only using traditional standardized VPN protocols. PPTP, L2TP, IPsec, not the more traditional, more common SSL-based VPNs that a lot of people use today. And then lastly, manageability is a big item. If you wanted to manage your machines using group policy, if you wanted to manage your machines using System Center Configuration Manager or any other third-party management tool, that's generally going to push you toward Windows 8-based machines. Windows on ARM, Windows RT-based machines have only been manageable through Exchange Active Sync and through Windows Intune. Now with 8.1, that story changes some, so we'll talk about how that's going to change. But those become really the variables that you need to consider. Based on those, you can then decide, well, which device is best at what? Well, the best mobility, anything with an Intel Atom or running Windows RT is going to have the best battery life, the best overall weight. Anything that you want to run a larger workload on, an Intel Core-based machine is going to run that workload best. If you're looking to run the widest variety of apps, most of the time that means a Windows 8-based machine, not a Windows RT-based machine. Although if you're using terminal servers and remote app or Citrix or something like that, you can at least access those applications remotely from a Windows RT device. From a connectivity standpoint, your best options are going to be with Windows 8, where you can install the third-party clients, you can use direct access, but you do have some options with Windows RT-based devices as well. Another aspect that comes into connectivity is the ability to synchronize content to the device. In a Windows 8 world, you can install SkyDrive. You can install SkyDrive Pro. You can use a variety of synchronization tools to synchronize your data to the device so you have the data when you're not connected to a network. On Windows RT, you don't have the ability to do SkyDrive or SkyDrive Pro synchronization. You can access the content when you're internet connected, but you can't synchronize it to the device. You can't do offline folders. So even though you could map from Windows RT to a server containing a share that has the files that you want, the offline files capability isn't present in Windows RT. It's present only in Windows 8 Pro and above. So you have to look at those types of trade-offs. The manageability one is probably the most obvious. If you're doing full manageability with something like System Center, Windows 8 is going to be best. Simple manageability through something like Windows Intune, we can manage just about anything that way. And then the lowest common denominator is going to be Exchange Active Sync. That's a lot to see on a slide. I mean, it's a lot to really talk through, but we do have some blog entries out on blogs.windows.com that kind of walk through that same methodology of trying to figure out, based on your needs, which type of device is going to be best, where there really isn't one answer. You might choose Intel Core machines for developers. You might choose Intel Atom machines for executives. You might choose Windows RT devices for people that are traditionally working on the road and just need to check email and do lightweight word processing, spreadsheets, and those types of things. It's all going to come down to how is the device going to be used. So we want to make sure that you could use all of these within your environment. That's also why you're starting to see the System Center team and the Intune team work more on hybrid scenarios. So you can use Intune to manage your Windows RT devices and use Configuration Manager to manage your Windows 8-based devices and then integrate the two of them together into a single administrative experience so you administer everything through one point and manage them where most appropriate. Windows RT devices generally are connected to the internet. They're connected to the internet, so they're very well managed from the cloud. Whereas the Windows 8 devices inside of your corporate network are best managed by resources inside of your corporate network. Things like Group Policy and Configuration Manager. So now let's move past that positioning and talk a little bit more about Windows RT devices. Obviously, they're designed for long battery life. They're designed to be as lightweight as possible. They do run on low-power ARM processors. The systems are designed to be high-quality and predictable experience over time. Well, what the heck does that mean? Basically means the deployment process for a Windows RT device is open the box and turn it on. You don't create your own images for these devices. You don't deploy images to these devices. You don't really do that much customization on this device. They're designed to be pre-configured in the factory with the best drivers, with the appropriate software, so that you just buy one, get it out of the box, turn it on. The only thing you should need to do to prepare this machine for your corporate environment is connect it into whatever management infrastructure you're going to use. If you're talking about Exchange Active Sync, that's really just connect me to my mailbox, and that automatically establishes the security settings necessary. If that's Windows Intune, there's an enrollment process to connect to my company environment to get this device so that it's managed through Windows Intune. In the case of Windows 8.1, with the new Open MDM support, that could be also connecting into third-party MDM solutions, whether it's AirWatch or Mobile Iron or other third parties that are going to be able to access this Open MDM agent that's present in Windows RT to do the same type of lightweight management that Windows Intune can do today. There is a lot of common code between Windows 8 and Windows RT. The UI is pretty hard to tell from looking at it. Is it Windows 8 or Windows RT? You may have to click around for a little bit just to figure out which one's which. Windows Store apps, generally, that developers write will be compatible with both. Now, they could write them in C++ and compile them specifically for x86 processors, and then it's not going to run on an ARM device, but that's pretty rare. So if you were to look at the Windows Store, the tens of thousands of applications that we've got out there, like 97% of them are able to run on ARM and x86 devices. So the app portfolio on a Windows RT device is just as broad as the app portfolio on a Windows 8 device when it comes to the new modern applications. Obviously, that doesn't carry over to desktop apps because you're unable to build desktop applications for Windows RT. Another difference with Windows RT is that it's moved away from using specific drivers for specific devices. Windows RT devices have USB ports. You can connect basically whatever you want to those USB ports. They also have Bluetooth. You can connect whatever Bluetooth devices you want to them. As long as there is an inbox class driver for the particular type of peripheral that you're connecting. Basically, Microsoft has written one driver for different classes of devices. That one driver is able to support any compatible device you throw at it. So then we have a website, this compatibility center, that lists all of the different devices that you could connect. Keyboards, mice, video cameras, microphones, Bluetooth, keyboards, just a variety of things, printers, storage devices. You just need to go out to the list, let's just see if I can get there real fast. Oh, my presenting machine doesn't have internet access. Let's switch over to the other machine that does. So let me bring up Internet Explorer. Let me create a new tab. Do a quick search. Windows RT Compatibility Center, where we can see for Windows RT, so we're looking at the Windows RT specific list, we can see all of the different devices that are compatible. If we want to, we can search for a particular device. Maybe we care about Bluetooth keyboards. and we can get a list back of all the different devices and whether they're compatible or not. Now, in this case, these are supported more generically by an inbox class driver, so we would expect that most of them, potentially all of them, are compatible. And we can see a variety of the different categories that are available there as well. So printers, mice, input devices, all different kinds of things. You can search that ahead of time and try to figure out what's compatible. In my case, I just randomly plug things into the device and see if they work or not. The only thing that I found so far that didn't work in my device was a wired Ethernet adapter. I'd like to connect my machine to wired networking because the wireless network in here was going up and down for a while. Yep, sorry, couldn't do that. That doesn't mean there aren't any wired adapters that are supported, but I just didn't happen to have one on me. The ones that I tried weren't working. But generally, we do have support for a wide variety of devices. Now, as far as Windows 8.1 goes, a lot of the same functionality that we've added to Windows 8 will also apply to Windows 8.1. That would include the start screen improvements that we've already talked about, the ability to go to the desktop, the ability to go directly to all apps, the ability to more easily customize the start screen itself. All of those settings, all of those capabilities will also be present in Windows RT. We'll also have the ability to do remote business data removal, basically a selective wipe of the device issued remotely to delete any enterprise tag data from the device. So any data that would be downloaded through the mail application, we would know that you saved an attachment from a mail message into a location on the device. When we wipe the device, we would delete not only the mail, but the attachment that you had saved from that mail application as well. So we had the ability to tag and track that data and track it back down and delete it should you ever want to wipe the device. We'll add more biometric support for the more advanced fingerprint readers that are coming out. Today, if you look at laptops that have fingerprint readers on them, they're kind of the swipe style where you swipe your finger across the reader. They're okay, but most people don't trust them. Enterprises turn them off. They just don't typically use them. But the new generation is much more robust and much easier to use because they're a true fingerprint reader. They're not reading a swipe as you go across them. You just set your finger on it. It can read that and not only figure out, is this the appropriate fingerprint for that device? You don't even have to get to the login screen to use it. You can just, from the lock screen, touch it, and it will identify who you are. Oh, that's the fingerprint associated with this account, and then unlock the device and take you immediately in. So very easy to lock and unlock the device. There's more malware resistance, not that malware is a big problem on a Windows RT device, and there's also the ability to do assigned access, basically a kiosk type mode where you can have the device go directly into an application rather than going into a start screen. So maybe you want to set these up as a sales device where the salesperson's going to use them to show a catalog of devices. You may never want to see the start screen. You may want to have it go straight into an application. We'll also have the ability to do workplace join. There have been a couple of sessions and some references to that in the keynote. Basically, this is a mechanism where you can do registration of a device into Active Directory for the purposes of being able to then trust that device to access secure company resources. So when you combine that with Server 2012 R2, you can allow access to files, folders, websites, and other things based on the fact that they're coming from a device that's trusted and they have the user credentials. So you don't have to restrict things only to a user ID. You could also say, any user ID coming from a device that's been registered through Workplace Join is able to access this data. But if I'm coming from an untrusted device, then I can't. So you get into this dynamic access control capability where you can use the device characteristics in combination with who the person is. We talked a little bit about OpenMDM already. Basically, there is an agent included in Windows RT as well as in Windows 8. This agent is usable by anyone. You register the device with the management service, whether that's AirWatch, Mobile Iron, Intune, or whatever, and it can then perform a variety of management functions with this Windows RT device. That can include pushing out wireless profiles, VPN definitions, pushing software out to the devices, pushing security settings and a variety of other configuration options, gathering inventory back from the devices, gathering details on patch levels. So the typical management functions that you would expect from a management tool. All are exposed through that MDM capability, so that third-party MDM tools as well as Intune can leverage that. There have also been more enhancements to remote desktop services so that you can have a richer experience when interacting with remote apps, like your desktop applications that you want to be able to get to remotely from a Windows RT device. We've added additional VPN clients. We'll talk a little bit more about those as we get into this. We've added the support for mobile broadband in the chipsets of the devices, so manufacturers now can start to create Windows RT devices that have built-in 4G capabilities. We support broadband tethering, so you can turn your broadband-enabled Windows RT device into a hotspot for other devices to then share. Maybe you do that with your phone today. Maybe you would rather do that with the Windows RT device, so we give you that option. And you'll also have the ability to do the auto-triggered VPNs that were discussed in the keynote as well. So if you have a device, like all of the Surfaces that you picked up this week, and you want to update it to Windows RT 8.1, when that comes out in preview later this month, or to the RTM version that comes out later this year, you can do that directly through the Windows Store. The process that you would go through for the preview is you would have to go out and install an optional update. So if you haven't found the Install Optional Updates control panel in Windows RT yet, search for it. It's there. There'll be updates that you won't see through the modern Install Updates option through PC settings. So find the desktop install optional updates item. From there, you can install the update to enable the store update experience. Then you'll see a new item in there that says you can install the Windows 8.1 RT preview. That will install, displaying a message saying that it's available, displaying a message once everything's been once everything's been downloaded. You just click the button and sit back and let it go through its thing. After that, the device would be up and running with 8.1. Now, there's not going to be a complete upgrade path from 8.1 preview to 8.1 RTM. The process would preserve your data and your accounts on the device, but any applications that were present on the device would have to be reinstalled. So if you're using this as a production device, think about it for a little bit before you put the preview on it. You can always use the refresh, reset my PC capabilities to roll the device back to 8.0 and then upgrade it to RTM with everything intact. But of course, the rollback process is going to get rid of that stuff as well. So just don't pick any random device and say, yeah, I'm going to deploy the 8.1 preview to it, unless you understand that, yeah, the apps are going to be lost later on when you try to go to the RTM version. That's actually better than what we've done in the past, like with Windows 8. We released the preview, and when RTM came out, we basically just said reinstall. There was no migration of data. There was no migration of user accounts. It was just you figure out how to put the original operating system back, or just wipe it clean and install the new OS RTM version. So we'll make it a little better, but still, you will lose the apps as part of that update process. So managing Windows devices, We've talked a little bit about this already, but let's dig into that a little deeper. When we're talking about Windows 8.1, the full operating system, Windows 8 Pro, Windows 8 Enterprise, we have a full range of options, starting from Exchange Active Sync on one end of the spectrum, going all the way up through Group Policy and Config Manager on the other end. In the case of Windows RT, though, we have to cut out one end of that spectrum. We have to remove the full control capabilities. We basically just have the other two. We can do lighter weight management through the OpenMDM agent, which you'll also see referred to as OMADM. I still can't remember what OMA stands for today. It's just been one of those tiring weeks already, but you can look it up. It is an industry standard protocol that allows for lightweight management of operating systems. It's been present in Windows Phone 8 for a while now. Now it's been moved into Windows RT and Windows 8 as well. And then Exchange Active Sync, I think you're all familiar with that. So we can use either of those. In the case of the OMADM management, again, we're talking AirWatch, Mobile Iron, Windows Intune, and anyone else who cares to add support for the enrollment and management process that's been implemented by this. So we've talked about some of the items around the devices themselves. Thin, light, sleek, okay, battery life, we get that. Includes class drivers for all kinds of common peripherals. Behind the scenes, though, it's secured by default. So if you've gone to some of the other sessions, we've talked about UEFI and how UEFI is a new BIOS replacement firmware that makes sure that the machine is trusted. It can do trusted boot, secure boot, making sure that there's no malware on the system. That is always present and always turned on for Windows RT devices, and it can't be turned off. So there's no way to get pre-boot malware onto a Windows RT device. Those safety precautions are always in place. Device encryption is also always in place. The devices are set up in the factory without encryption enabled, but when you turn them on for the first time, they encrypt themselves. When you log on for the first time with a Microsoft account that has admin rights to the account, it will automatically put a protector on the device and back up the recovery key to the cloud. So it'll back up the recovery key to SkyDrive. Anytime you get locked out of the device, for whatever reason, maybe you put in the wrong password 5 times, well, then you can go out to SkyDrive from another computer, get the recovery key, and type that recovery key into the device to restore your access. That does imply that you really should be using these with Microsoft accounts. If you only use local accounts and only log in with local accounts, the encryption will never be complete. It'll be encrypted, but there'll be a clear key. There won't be any protectors applied. No TPM protector, no key backed up into the cloud. So it waits until you log on the first time with a Microsoft account that has admin rights to fully encrypt the device. So at the very least, log in once with an admin Microsoft account, even if you don't intend to use that Microsoft account ever again. You can go back to local accounts after that if you want. We've talked a little bit about the apps already. These basically are created using existing developer tools like Visual Studio. Most of them are written in C#, although now developers can write these in Java, Script and HTML. So if your developers prefer to use more of the web standards, they can do that, basically encapsulating that into a WinRT app. These WinRT apps then get put into the store. They can be deployed to the store. Now, you can also sideload these. So if you went into my earlier session today where we talked about sideloading and deploying line of business applications, by installing a sideload product key on Windows RT, we can load whatever applications we want, even ones that aren't currently in the store. So if your developer's writing their own app and you want to deploy it to your Windows RT devices, you can do that. You just need to enable sideloading for that. If you have software assurance, these sideload keys are provided as part of software assurance for the Windows 8 devices, where these Windows RT devices are treated as companion devices. So even though there's no software assurance on the Windows RT device itself, you can use that same product key to unlock sideloading on all of your Windows RT devices. If you don't have software assurance, you can purchase these sideloading keys. Once sideloading is enabled, then the management tools like AirWatch, Mobile Iron, Intune can push software out to the devices without going through the Windows Store. So that's really the purpose of doing sideloading. Included in the operating system, obviously, is the UI. There is a desktop environment, which is fairly complete, which you've probably figured out. You can open a command prompt. You can open up PowerShell. All the traditional things in Windows you can find. There is a copy of Office Home and Student included. There is an inbox mail application included, along with a variety of other inbox applications. It does fully support touch, mouse, keyboard. You can create multiple user accounts. They can be local accounts. They can be Microsoft accounts. You can mix and match those however you choose. So let's look a little bit at Windows RT. I guess I should have asked before, how many of you didn't buy a Surface RT? And how many of you have bought one but haven't yet pulled it out of the box? All right, so it is worth showing a little bit of it because you haven't yet torn it out of the box and taken a look at it. But you won't really see that many differences between Windows RT and Windows 8. We can get to the start screen. In this case, I'm running Windows 8.1, a preview build. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. The main way you can tell is you can't do an icon that big in Windows 8 or Windows RT 8. With 8.1, you can resize these. So I could select this and say that I want to resize it and make it small. I could resize it, say that I want to make it large. I can more easily rename groups. Except I can't type, but you get the idea. We can more easily manipulate this start screen on purpose, and we can less easily rearrange it accidentally. So if I'm just kind of swiping back and forth, I can't just accidentally tug one of them away and move it into a different group. I would have to explicitly say that I want to customize, and once I've said that I want to customize, then I get the option to move the item around by just kind of tearing it off at the bottom of the list. We can get to the desktop. From the desktop, we do get File Explorer. Not really anything too surprising there. We could do something like searching for a command, open a command prompt. From there, we could run PowerShell.exe. So we do get a reasonable environment, and if we type get command, come on, you can do it. I thought clearing the screen would be a nice simple operation. That one's taking a little bit. So I can see all of the different PowerShell commandlets that are included, and there are actually quite a few of them. The main thing, though, is that PowerShell and the command prompt and other things included in Windows RT are for the purposes of configuring the OS. So if you've used PowerShell to compile C# code and to display WPF forms and display dialog boxes and all kinds of other fancy stuff that you can do on Windows 8 with PowerShell, you won't be able to do that on Windows RT because Windows RT runs in a more constrained mode where it won't let you directly create .NET types, won't let you directly create .NET objects, it won't let you directly compile C# code, but it will let you do a lot of stuff. There are a lot of inbox commandlets. That list continues to get bigger with Windows 8.1. We do have a full version of Office installed, so we can run Excel, Word, PowerPoint, OneNote, the traditional home and student applications are present. And they have most of the same functionality that you would have on the desktop. There is a list of some items that aren't included in these apps that's available on the Office site that goes into those details. The main restriction, though, around Office is that by default, it's licensed for home use. It's not licensed for commercial use. So for commercial use rights, there are some other requirements that have to be met. So if we look at Office, the requirements that need to be met are that you need to have commercial use rights through Office 365. If you have a subscription with Pro Plus, Small Business Premium, Mid-Sized Business, or Enterprise E3, E4, or if you have Office Standard or Professional Plus 2013 through a volume license program or any other commercial use volume license agreement, then you can use a Windows RT device and Office on that Windows RT device to do productive work. I haven't looked at these devices that are being provided here, but when the original Surface RT devices shipped, they had the preview version of Office Home and Student 2013 installed on them, not the final RTM version. Remember I mentioned before that there was an install optional updates control panel? The RTM version of Office Home and Student 2013 was considered an optional update because we didn't want to just decide to push out a 300 megabyte update to your machine. So definitely go out to that install optional updates control panel and make sure there isn't an Office update sitting there for you to install. They may be manufacturing the devices with that pre-installed on it already. I haven't opened a box recently to see what happens. So Office, yeah, it's Office. We don't really need to spend a whole lot more time demoing that. Let's talk a little bit more about connectivity. One of the challenges with Windows RT when the devices originally shipped is we said, we support VPN connections with Cisco and Checkpoint and F5, but what we didn't really mention too well in the fine print was, well, that only works if you're doing PPTP, L2TP, or IKEV2. If you're doing SSL-based VPNs, sorry, the inbox VPN client's unable to do that. That's not an industry standard protocol, so our inbox client that we wrote, that we provided, isn't able to connect to those backend infrastructures. So then the common request from customers is, well, can we install other third-party VPN clients? Initially, the answer was no, but for Windows 8.1, we've been working with vendors to provide that. You'll see with the preview release, hopefully, assuming that we can get all of them fully tested in time, is 4 inbox third-party VPN clients from F5, Dell, SonicWall, Checkpoint, and Juniper. Those will be able to support all of the functionality provided with those back-end VPN servers, including SSL-based VPNs. So that will certainly make remote connectivity more robust. You won't have to use the inbox VPN client anymore. You'll get these additional VPN clients inbox. We also have the ability to do virtual smart cards. So you can always attach a smart card reader to these devices. Most smart card readers, USB smart card readers, will work fine with Windows RT. Not all smart cards will work with Windows RT, though. If you're using a smart card that's based on the government standards around PIV or GIDS, if you're not a government person and you have no idea what those acronyms stand for, you probably don't care what they stand for either. But in the case of Microsoft, that actually means that we have smart cards that don't work on our own devices, because Microsoft doesn't use PIV or GIDS smart cards internally. So the first thing we said was, well, how are we going to establish a VPN connection? We have the VPN client in box to connect to our own Windows-based VPN server, but we can't use our own smart cards. Said, no problem. We can use virtual smart cards. So using the TPM that's included in all Windows RT devices, we can create a virtual smart card that's stored in the TPM and then store the certificates in the TPM on that virtual smart card. Now, with Windows RT, the original release, that was not the most pretty setup, because if you wanted to create a virtual smart card, you needed to do it from a command prompt. So I could say run as administrator, and then issue a command like, what is it, TPM, VSC, MGR, create name, my virtual smart card, pin prompt to say prompt for a pin, admin key random, generate. Now, then of course I need to have the right command, TPM. Oh, there it is. TPM VSC. Oh, there's my typo. I typed SVC, not VSC. VSC MGR. Then it prompts me to enter my PIN, which I need to confirm. Oh, and then I can't type. Doesn't have to be a long PIN. One character, I can't mess that up. Oh, and then it says it doesn't meet the complexity requirements. All right, fine. But you get the idea, you can create the virtual smart card. That's the easy part of the process, though. The hard part, then, is to get a certificate enrolled on it. Fortunately, you can use Active Directory certificate services to do that. If you expose those through an HTTP-based web service. So you can then use the Enroll Certificates wizard that's included inside of Windows RT to select from the available certificate templates that you published in Active Directory. Say that I want a user certificate, say that I want whatever type of certificate I want. It can then generate that certificate and load it into the virtual smart card, just like you could do a physical smart card on a real machine. In the case of Microsoft internally, we're using Forefront Identity Manager, and we've got some other processes that we've worked on with that to do certificate enrollment with that, where we've actually used terminal services, a remote app, so we can connect into the remote app, generate a certificate through that, and then store the remote app back through the remote desktop connection onto the virtual smart card. So there are various ways to provision certificates onto that virtual smart card using automation. Or you can do it the lazy way, generate the cert, save it onto a USB key, insert it into the machine, and then load it up through Explorer just by double-clicking on it. Or you can run certutil, which is present here as well, and do certificate maintenance that way. So not too bad. But there are better ways to do it. So one of the things that's changing in Windows 8.1 is we're providing more APIs for doing that. So instead of having to go to a command line and run TPM, SVC, MGR.exe, you'll be able to write a modern app that creates a virtual smart card. So you can do an application that handles this provisioning process. Maybe it can talk to a web service, generate a certificate, download it, store that certificate into the smart card as well. So we're putting additional work into those type of security APIs that we'll talk about more at the Build conference in a couple of weeks. For accessing data and apps, we can use remote apps, not a big surprise. We can use Citrix. There is a Citrix client application that you can install on Windows RT. There are some specific requirements from Cisco, or Citrix, that you need to meet in order to make those connections, so be sure to read the release notes that go along with that. But it's fairly easy from Windows RT then to make those connections and run apps remotely. They can be touch-enabled, so if you're running Server 2012 on the back end, that fully supports running touch-enabled apps on the server, where you're interacting with them on the client side, fully supporting touch and all the touch functionality that goes along with that. The nice thing about remote apps is you really don't need to worry so much about corporate data, because you're accessing the data through a remote session. You're not actually storing it on the device. So for the security conscious, you can just stick to entirely remote apps. There are some downsides of that, though. If you wanted to actually be able to use the data offline, that's a little bit more restrictive. Again, I mentioned before that we didn't have any way to synchronize the data back to the device because there wasn't SkyDrive, SkyDrive Pro, or redirected offline folders available on Windows RT. At least one of those will be fixed, though, with Windows RT 8.1. SkyDrive, built in, will be able to sync the contents of your SkyDrive onto the device, so that's available offline. So, we're getting better. For VDI, same basic experience. We support remote FX, USB redirection. So imagine that. You have a USB camera attached to your Windows RT device, redirected into a Server 2012 VDI virtual machine, where you can do video chats across that type of a connection. That's freaky to watch for the people that understand the way that technology works. For the people that use it, they look at it and say, ho-hum, it works. Why shouldn't it? But that's a major accomplishment for that type of a technology setup. There are lots of security capabilities on the devices. We talked about secure boot and trusted boot. They are always present, always on, can't be disabled. We talked about device encryption. That's always turned on at first boot, but make sure you log on with a Microsoft account that has admin rights so that you get a TPM protector added and the recovery key backed up to the cloud. You can use picture passwords and PIN passwords, which are convenience passwords. You can also use Credentials Locker to store additional accounts and passwords. That's all present. The Windows Firewall is built in. Windows Defender is built in, so we do have security against those types of threats. We do support network access protection through Windows RT as well, but only to a certain point. We also support 802.1x security, but only to a certain point. If it requires installing third-party software to supplement the functionality of NAP or 802.1x, you can't install any third-party add-ons for NAP or 802.1x. But if it works with the built-in functionality that's part of Windows, then NAP and 802.1x will work okay. We can do governance through Exchange Active Sync, but you need to keep in mind that that is actually implemented not by the operating system, but by the Mail app. So when you use the Mail app to connect to your Exchange mailbox, that then enforces the policies at that point. If you were to do a remote wipe, so the device is lost, you want to wipe the data off of it, with Windows RT 8, that remote wipe will only wipe the mail data. Mail, calendar, address book, people. That data will get wiped. Other data that's on the device, maybe things that they saved into My Documents, that won't get wiped. Now with 8.1 and the additional capabilities that we're adding there, we would be able to take that further because we can tell where the data came from. We know what enterprise data is, and we can reach out further than that. Plus, it's actually implemented by the operating system through the OMADM agent rather than being implemented by the mail application itself. We can do cloud-based management with Windows Intune. That's present with the current release. With the new release and the OMADM, we open that up to third parties. We've already talked a little bit about the variety of things that you can do with that. We do have full support for PowerShell. That's for troubleshooting, configuration, diagnostics. It is intended only for scripting. You can't do development with it, so you can't write your own app in PowerShell unless it's just very simple prompting for text inputs. You can't do any type of UI components with it. From a management perspective, there are a variety of settings that we can do that are going to be the same between Exchange Active Sync and Windows Intune. When we get to 8.1, this list isn't going to fit on a slide anymore because there'll be many more settings that can be configured and controlled through the MDM agent that's included in the box. So for right now, the main difference is related to the additional capabilities. Since Intune can do application publishing, deep linking to public Windows Store apps, it can do a self-service portal and it can push out VPN client configurations. As we go forward into the future, we'll be able to do many more settings, and there'll be additional capabilities around wireless and certificate enrollment and other things that get added into this as well. We have published a white paper, and this white paper is intended to be kind of the all-encompassing list of here's everything that Windows RT can do and everything that Windows RT can't do. And it's surprisingly lengthy. Let me see if I can bring that up on the device itself. Go to aka.com, Windows RT for Enterprise. They sent me that URL earlier today. Let's hope that it actually works. As I told them, there's no way I'm going to type in the long URL, which is something like the typical TechNet URL. AKA, yeah, it did. I copied and pasted it from their email, which did say aka.ms, but did say aka.com, but I think you're probably right. It's probably supposed to be ms. We still do have a wireless connection, right? No, we don't. That would probably explain something. That says we do. It's beta. What can I say? Let's start it up again. Okay, I won't do it from that device. Let's switch back over to this one. Since we lost our internet connection. See if I have an internet connection here. Connected, but that doesn't mean functional. Let me try a different connection. Well, it's just not working at all. We can't get to anything up here at the moment. Someone tell me what the password is, and I'll use it. Noah? Nola? 2013. Limited. Limited. Okay, maybe we won't do any internet access here. Let me do the old-fashioned way. We have the web version, but we also have a document equivalent. Yeah, we only went through 21 versions of this thing as we were trying to perfect it. The document itself is quite lengthy, but it goes through all of the areas of Windows RT and says, well, this will do, this will work, this won't work, here are the limitations, here are the capabilities. 27 pages of this stuff, of things like Windows RT includes communication apps, they support ActiveSync and IMAP. Oh, by the way, they don't support SMIME, they don't support POP3, they don't support rules. So we've tried to be as comprehensive as possible, which is how we got up to 27 pages. A lot of the items I've mentioned as we've gone through here, like talking about VPN connectivity, what works, what doesn't. So that's definitely something you want to flip through. As soon as I get an internet connection back, I'll make sure that it's not .ms versus .com. Who knows, both of them may actually work. But we've included lots of detail. Actually, I think I have a highlighted version of this somewhere. What about link? So link is actually one of the apps that's available in the store, the modern version of Link. You can install that on a Windows RT device, and that's actually covered in the white paper as well. The modern version has all the functionality of the desktop version with one exception. It can't do desktop sharing, which kind of makes sense because that's not a capability provided in Windows RT, so the app can't leverage that capability. But as far as watching video, being able to participate via audio, instant messaging, seeing attendee lists, all of those capabilities are present in the modern Link app that you can install from the store. So this is the highlighted version. Just to call out the types of things that we wanted to make sure people understood. So Windows RT devices aren't designed for heavy workloads. They can't run existing desktop apps. They can't join Active Directory. They don't use group policy. They have more limited corporate network access capabilities. They'll typically not be used in enterprises in the same broad scenarios as Windows 8 devices, which have robust enterprise capabilities. That's not a marketing sentence. That's a statement of fact. When we get deeper into this, we start talking about more of the specifics. So you can read through all of this online. It's been broken up into a bunch of pages that are anchored off of that URL, talking about licensing and the different licenses that you need. It does mention that the Link app is available. I think there is actually a section in here that talks about the Link app, talks about Internet Explorer. This is actually one of the items that we changed after this particular version was created. Windows RT doesn't support Adobe Flash for all websites. Well, eventually we just decided, that's okay. We'll go ahead and turn on Flash for everything. So now that one no longer applies. If you try to access, say, YouTube, you'd be able to play YouTube videos even though it's using the Flash player to do that. That's one of the hot fixes that was pushed out for Windows RT in the last couple of months.
Did it flip over to have a blacklist instead of whitelist?
Yes. Well, it's always supported both blacklist and whitelist, so they just changed it so the whitelist is asterisk, and the blacklist is a list of known misbehaving sites. When we talk about Link, note that the Link app will allow viewing shared desktops, but the user's Windows RT desktop cannot be shared. Not a big deal. There is a Skype app, may not support 802.1x, I think I mentioned that. There are some proxy issues, that's not just a Windows RT issue, we also have proxy issues on Windows 8. We're working on those, there's some KB articles that go into the details, especially if you have authenticating proxies, so you can read through those. We include the VPN client, which has some limitations, we'll fix that by including additional third-party clients. Doesn't support SSL, no additional clients can be installed yourself. So the question was, well, what about Cisco? Yeah, at this point, it's not looking like Cisco is going to be included. There are some technical challenges that are still being discussed between Cisco and Microsoft. So touch base with Cisco and see what's going on with that one. We're more than willing to include it, but it requires that those technical issues be worked out before it can be included in Box. Yeah, and that's different. When we're talking about Cisco in this table, we're talking about connecting to Cisco using those standard protocols. So using PPTP, using L2TP, using IPsec, but not using AnyConnect, not using an SSL-based VPN. That's not possible with the Inbox client. We would need an actual Cisco client in order to implement that. And that's where the technical discussions are coming in between the two companies. So it's still being discussed. It's not a done deal yet one way or the other, but yeah, let Cisco know that you would like that, and hopefully we can get to some mutual understanding related to that. What about what? Printing? Printing, we are able to use the built-in class drivers to talk to a lot of printers. And that's good. You can also use print servers as long as you put V4 print drivers on those print servers. Now, whether there are V4 print drivers available for all of these different printers that you want to use becomes a separate discussion. But basically, the V4 print drivers are architecture neutral. I forget if that section was above or below. But the V4 print drivers will work on an ARM device, where a V3 driver, which is probably what most of your print servers are running today, would only work with x86, x64 OSs. So it is possible to do printing with a print server from Windows RT as long as you have the V4 driver support. A variety of third-party apps. We don't currently synchronize SkyDrive. We don't support offline files, folder redirection, client-side caching. We do support WebDAV access if you wanted to do that. We support a certain types of smart cards. So really, we're just going through and documenting all of the different features and limitations. If you're looking at Windows RT devices and thinking, well, maybe this is a fit, read through this and see afterwards, do you still think it's a fit? Are there restrictions that would be preventing you from using these devices? Some of them will be lifting as part of the Windows 8.1 release. Some of them will continue to exist with Windows 8.1. Okay. There is also more information through the Windows RT homepage. One of these days I'll be able to verify that URL. I still don't have internet connections. But you can read more about Windows RT on both of those links. The first one's going to be very enterprise focused. The second one is going to be very marketing focused. So pick which one you want. It is .ms. So yeah, I'll complain that they sent me the wrong URL because I didn't even type it in. I copied and pasted. But okay, aka.ms/WindowsRT4Enterprise will take you to the detailed page. I assume you also verify that the page is actually there and it loads and you can click through it. It has a navigation pane off to the right that lets you click through the various sections. Don't miss that. If you don't, you'll just assume that it's about one page long. No, it's not one page long. It's 27 pages long. It's just in 27 different links. When Windows RT 8.1 is available, it should be available at the same time as the Windows 8.1 preview. Definitely try it out. Again, you'll have to install a hotfix to enable the store update. Then the preview will show up in the store. You can click to install it. It will download it. It will install it on the machine. They've made some interesting enhancements to reduce the footprint of the operating system as well. So it's quite possible that when you upgrade the device from Windows RT version 8 to Windows RT version 8.1, you'll end up with a device with more free space than it had before. They're using NTFS compression. They're going through and cleaning out old versions of components, cleaning up additional temp files. They're going out of their way to make sure of a couple of things. One, that you can actually update the device. Updating an operating system requires a fair amount of temporary disk space. So they had to make enhancements to the process to minimize the amount of temporary disk space. I don't know exactly where they're at right now. Last I heard, temporary disk space was around 4 gigabytes. They needed about 4 gigabytes of free space in order to upgrade the OS. They were still working on that, trying to get that lower. So reducing the amount of free disk space required was one thing, but also aggressively cleaning up the used disk space before starting the process basically frees up a lot of that disk space before everything gets started. And then by doing compression and eliminating unneeded components and really trying to pack things together, we can make sure that even the end result is going to be smaller than what you started with. So it should be a good update. Again, keep in mind that when you go to the preview, there won't be any full update to go forward to the RTM version. You would be able to migrate data and your user accounts, but your apps would need to be reinstalled. Not a big deal for a Windows RT device because you can go back out to the store and see your list of apps and then reinstall all of them just by clicking on each one. So it's not quite as bad as on a full Windows 8 system where you would have to reinstall your desktop apps as well.
Will the 8.1 RTM replace the recovery partition?
The last discussion was, the question was, will Windows 8.1 replace the recovery partition? The last discussion was no, that it won't replace the recovery partition. So if you did a reset, it would go back to 8.0. If for some reason you deleted the recovery partition to free up disk space, then it's not going to put it back either. So it's going to leave it deleted. So you could always roll back to 8.0. It's not going to update it. I'm not sure what they're going to do, if they'll provide a process to update it yourself. You can certainly do that on a Windows 8 system because you have full access to the media. I'm not sure if that's going to be an option in 8.1 or not. We'll see as time goes by. Can you back up the recovery partition? Yes, but I'm not sure it's 100% supported. But if you do some searches out on the internet, they'll tell you how to assign a drive letter to the partition, copy the contents off to USB media. Yeah, I don't know that there's a GUI for it. I don't recall there being a GUI on Windows RT, but you could do it yourself and then just keep the USB version of it around. I've used that to recover before because as we deploy 8.1 builds to test things out and need to go back, it's a lot easier to just insert a USB key and reboot the machine and reinstall it that way. Okay, that is pretty much everything that I wanted to go through. If there are any other questions, either raise your hand and talk loudly or find a microphone. We'll see if we can take a few questions in the couple of minutes that we have left here. If there are no questions at all, then we can all escape. Question?
This is about in the enterprise, what's the outlook?
What's the outlook for Outlook? Well, we haven't announced any outlook for Outlook, so we're not commenting on that at this point in time. Yeah, we've all seen the rumors, and we'll just have to keep watching. So how does store access work with local accounts? Basically, with a local account, you launch the store. It'll let you browse. It will let you search. It will let you install updates. As soon as you go to install an app, it'll prompt you for a Microsoft account.
So we can install updates to all the existing.
You can install updates to the existing stuff without a Microsoft account, but to install a new app, you need to log in with a Microsoft account in the store app itself. You don't ever need to log on to the machine with the Microsoft account.
One more question for Alana. Are those updates per user or per machine for the native buildings?
Yeah, so the next question is, well, are those updates per machine or per user? At this point, they are per user. One of the changes coming in Windows 8.1 that will also be present in Windows RT 8.1 is a group policy, which is really a registry key, that says automatically install updates. So you would be able to flip that on, and then every user would automatically get those updates installed the next time they log on, rather than they would each get their own copy, although it's all single instance. So it's not like there are five copies of the app, but they could be running five different versions. As soon as the oldest version is no longer used, Windows will automatically clean it up. So it's keeping track of the install files. What about Silverlight? It's not available for Windows RT. It's unlikely that it will be available for Windows RT. It's not obsolete, but it's not something that's really being stressed for the future. The idea would be that it would be better to develop using the WinRT APIs, using C#, using HTML and JavaScript, using that instead of Silverlight, or just building web apps. As IE10 can run web apps without any issue. Sure. So the question was, are there any limitations with sideloaded apps? Well, since we're talking about Windows RT, The only apps that you can sideload are Windows Store apps, WinRT apps. AppV, desktop applications, MSIs, setup.exes, none of that stuff runs on Windows RT, so you can't deploy it through Windows Intune. If you were talking about a Windows 8 machine, x86, x64 operating system, then sure, Windows Intune can push all of that out to a device as well. But Windows RT is just going to be store apps. At this point, that is just pull, where the user can go and request them from a company portal and install them. As we move into the future, that should get to be push as well, so that you can make them mandatory. So how about a connector for Config Manager for those that can't use Windows Intune? That would be one that you'd need to talk to the Intune and Config Manager team about. But I doubt that that's very high on their priority list. They expect for internet-connected machines like Windows RT devices, third-party devices of various other types running other operating systems that I don't like even mentioning on stage. Those can be managed through the cloud. Everything else is managed on premises using Config Manager. Sure.
Can your Wi-Fi refresh Windows 8.12 if it's in the RT?
For a Windows RT device, yes, they'll all have a recovery partition on them. The original OEM image will be stored on that recovery partition. To reset it, you just go to PC Settings, General, and then there are two options for Refresh, Reset My PC. One keeps your apps and data, the other one doesn't. And I can never remember which one's which without reading the description underneath it, so read carefully before you click the button. On Pro, yeah, most OEM devices will ship with, actually all OEM devices will ship with that configured. If you then redeploy it yourself using MDT Config Manager or something like that, you would have to put it back yourself. It's not going to be preserved necessarily by that deployment process, so it then becomes your responsibility. But the Windows 8 logo and OEM agreements that we have require that vendors put those on new devices.
But when it says protect your apps, it only means Windows Store apps?
It only means Windows Store apps, right. Whichever option keeps apps only keeps modern apps, doesn't keep desktop apps. Keeping the modern apps is fairly easy. They're just a folder structure. Keeping desktop apps isn't so easy. They're spread all over the system and registry and everywhere else. Okay, well, why don't we wrap it up there? Please fill out your evals. If there are any other questions, come up front, and we'll see if we can address those as well. Thanks for coming.